So we left off yesterday. We're still trying to figure out what the puzzle of the sugya is. We're still trying to locate what exactly is the nekudas ha-machlekes. What exactly are Abaye and Rav and Rav Chisda arguing about? Is this a good migul? Is this not a good migul? We know that the dekel is long gone. We know the dekel is going to go to Rav Yehuda bar Avin. Question is whether the other individual is going to be able to hold on to the peiros that he ate, because migul could have said they didn't eat him yet. So that was really the nekudah of the whole issue. So according to Rav Chisda, he has some kind of a migul. According to Abaye and Rav, so somehow he doesn't have that migul. What the issue is, why he has the migul, why he doesn't have the migul, a lot of it depends upon what the girsa is, what did the Edom say, was it Osvaldin, all the different permutations that we spoke about in the past. Let's assume now that, we can assume for now, that there were Edom who presented themselves. The Edom didn't quite say the whole story, they didn't say Rav Yehuda bar Avin was the closest relative, but they did create the status of him being a relative. So we applied the principle of Ein Sabi Motzim Dei Vaadai, and we spent most of yesterday Shia trying to figure out, assuming that we're playing with that piece of Ein Sabi Motzim Dei Vaadai, what exactly was the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Abaye and Rav and Rav Chisda. We spoke about Edim against Amigo against Amuchsok, and Amigo against Nalan Sade, and splitting Psokim, all the different permutations that we had yesterday. That's pretty much where we left off. But now we have to take a totally different approach to this sugya, which is taken by the Baal HaMor. Comes the Baal HaMor different than everything we've set up until now. Comes the Baal HaMor and says, I'll tell you what the problem with this migul is, at least according to those who hold it's a problem, at least according to Abaye and Rav. I'll tell you what the problem with the migul is. It's not a migul b'makom Edim, because there aren't real Edim here. The Edim are, the Baal HaMor is working with the Girsa, who didn't have the word Tfei. So there weren't real Edim here. The Rav Yehuda bar Avin was the closest Karu. So that's not the problem. What's the problem with the migul? Says the Baal HaMor, new klal. Catch this. Klal migul 12749 dash what? New klal nukhaz migul. What's the new klal? A migul only works in a situation where it's not easy to find Edim. But if you have the ability, you should have been able to produce Edim. And now all you're able to come forward with is a migul. That's a problem. That's a limitation of migul. So we put the brakes on migul. Migul can only work when you have nothing better available, when you can't be expected to have anything better available. When you have the potential to bring something better, that's not called migul. Such a migul is not going to be effective in Beis Din. Comes the Baal HaMor and says, that's the root of the machlekes. That's what's going on in the sugya on the Flam Gimel in Bava Basra. What happens is the Baal HaMor? Comes Rav Yehuda bar Avin and wins the dekel. He has the Edim who say that he was a Karov. You don't have, again, there's no Karov Tveh here. But he has Edim that he's the Karov. The other Baldov, the other guy, is screaming that, no, I'm the Karov. Believe me that I'm the Karov. True, I'm going to lose the dekel, but believe me that I'm the Karov vis-a-vis the fruit that I ate. Migo that I could have said I didn't eat it at all. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with that migo. It's a beautiful migo. It's such a beautiful migo that Rav Chisda accepts it as a din Torah. Rav Chisda paskin based on that migo that he does not have to pay back the fruit that he ate. Come Abaye and Rav and say, no, that migo is not acceptable. You know why? What do you mean? You're advancing a taina that you're a relative? You can't bring anybody who knows that you're a relative. Nobody in the world knows that you were at the last chasana. Nobody knows that you're related to the guy. Nobody knows you were at the family reunion. Nobody knows you're related to this guy. So what kind of a lousy time is that? What kind of a terrible time is that? What do you mean you can't produce any Edom at all? Comes the Baal HaMor, in quoting Abaye and Rava, and throws the book at that migo. Such a migo that you're advancing taina X, maybe it could have said taina Y, it meets all the criteria of a chasmigo except for this one. And since it fails to meet this condition of migo, the migo fails, the migo is gone. And now what do you have, everybody say? You have no migo. What is that going to cost you? It's going to cost you the fruit that you ate. Ad kan devir Baal HaMor. That is the nekudas ha-machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rabbi and Rava, this new cloud that the Baal HaMor just made up in terms of Bechus Migo. So everybody say, what do we have to do now? Well, no. Now we, same way we spend so much time on Pesach's version, the Rashba's version, to try to figure out what's going on, we have to give some time to the Baal HaMor as well. Do we understand this new clown of Rizmigo? Is it correct? Do we understand why it should be a machlekes of Chizn and Abaye and Rava? What exactly is this all about? What are the parameters of this brand new cloud? We have yet to meet this cloud. We've been learning Migo for 6 months. We have yet to meet this cloud until here, at least according to the Baal HaMor. Other Rishonim never heard of this cloud. But the Baal HaMor invented it to interpret this sugya. So how do we conceptualize this principle of Balamor? That a Migo is only good, kol zman, that you can't have Edim. But it's easy to bring Edim, the Migo falls by the wayside. So when you read this Balamor, there's got to be something that you are reminded of. And it shouldn't be that hard to remember it, because it was in this week's Parsha. Parsha is the past week's Parsha. Parsha is Mishpatim. What halacha does this immediately trigger off in your mind? What similarity? Where do we find such a concept that the Torah says, we'll accept what you have to say, we'll trust what you have to say, because after all, you don't have the option to bring Edom. But Lu Yitzu, you would have the option to bring Edom. We will not accept what you have to say. Anyone know what I'm referring to? What? Pash Mishpatim. Umeis onishbar onishba ein roya. Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim about a shomer sachar. The Torah says, "I give you something to watch, even though I'm paying you. You're still certain limitation in what you have to, what you're responsible for. You're more responsible than a shomer chinam. So whereas a shomer chinam is part of a gneiva v'aveda, a shomer sachar has to pay for gneiva v'aveda. Im ganovi ganev me'imo yishalem l'va'alav." I remember Metzia derives from that pasuk. Not only do you have to pay for Geneva, but going to be Geneva, double loss, you have to pay for Aveda also. So a Shemesachar is Chayev, a Geneva, Aveda, like a Shemechinam. But even a Shemesachar has a certain limitation on his obligation. And that limitation is Aines. Umeis onishbar onishbar in Reyesh, Shvuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneim. The Torah says, Befamish, and Bashar Beshbotim, that a Shemesachar is Potter on. On Nishbar, on Nishbar, Mace, on Nishbar, on Nishbar. The three examples of Eines, the animal died, the animal got hurt, whatever. Not the Shia, on Nishbar was taken captive. These are all examples of Eines, Hashem Esachar is Potter. How does Hashem Esachar prove that these things happened? Nobody was there. So comes the Torah and says, Shavua Hashem Tia Ben Shneim. He has to take a Shavua, and he's Nehman, Hashem Esachar is Nishbar, Nishbar Potter. Comes the Torah and introduces to us this Chi of Shavua by saying, by the way, when is the Shavua Hashem take place? Ain Ra'eh. Nobody saw what really happened. So the question is, what is the significance of that statement, Ain Ra'eh, immediately preceding the phrase Shavua Hashem Tia Ben Shneim? So comes the Gemara at the end of the sixth parak above Metziah and quotes from the Tana Isi Ben Yehuda, one of the Tanoim, Isi Ben Yehuda Omer, that the meaning of that pasuk is as follows. Ein ro'eh shvuas Hashem tiyah ben shneihem. Hayesh ro'eh ein shvuas Hashem ben shneihem. Ad kan divrei Isi ben Yehuda. And the Gemara says, we paskin like Isi ben Yehuda. One small technical problem. We paskin like him, we have no idea what he just said. So what did he just say? Ein ro'eh shvuas Hashem tiyah ben shneihem. Implication is, hayesh ro'eh ein shvuas Hashem. So the Rif, in the end of the sixth parak of Metziah, quotes two radically different interpretations from the Ge'onim. What in the world do Isi Ben Yehuda mean? How do you read Pasuk? When you read this Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim last week, you should have stopped and asked yourself, what's Pshat the Pasuk? What do you mean Ein Roya? What is Ein Roya teaching me? So comes one interpretation in the Ge'onim that the Rif quotes, is Ein Roya Hayesh Roya Ein Onishba. What it means is as follows. When does the Shomer Sachar have to be Nishba and Beis Din? That's if we have no idea what happened. But if the Shomer Sachar brings Edim, Edim saw the animal got taken away by a Shvuya. The Edim saw the animal die. The Edim saw the Eines. So what do you want the Shomer Sachar to do? Why should the Shomer have to be Nishba? What do you think? Shvu is a Gezeres HaKosov? Is a mitzvah. Every Shomer Sachar has to put on tefillin every day. So every Shomer Sachar has to take a Shvuah. Mapitam. The purpose of a Shomer Sachar Shvuah is to be mevarit to us. What happened? So if we know what happened through other ways, i.e. through Edim, then there's no purpose for the Shomer Sachar to take a Shvuah. So this Pasuk, this Drash of Isi Ben Yehuda is a kula for the Shomer Sachar. Don't think it's always Shavuos Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneihem. No, the Torah introduced it by saying, Ein Raya Shavuos Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneihem. Hayesh Raya Ein Onishba. That's the one interpretation of the Ge'onim, that this pasuk works in favor of the Shem Esachar. Comes the Rif and quotes the second interpretation of the Ge'onim, the exact opposite. No. Ein Raya Hayesh Raya Ein Onishba. That means as follows. That means if there should have been a Raya, it happened in broad daylight. The Shomer claims that, oh, Yvei, this animal, you know what, it died, it had a heart attack. Where? Not tucked away somewhere. It had a heart attack in the middle of the street, in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue, the animal had a heart attack. But let me go run and take a shvut if that's what happened. So Beis Din taps him on the shoulder and says, wait a second, hold on, stop for a second. You're going to tell me that this animal had a heart attack on Amsterdam Avenue at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a regular weekday. There were a lot of people running. It wasn't a snow day. Even MTA had school. There's a regular weekday. Hundreds and thousands of people running up and down the street. And nobody saw. Nobody saw the animal got a heart attack. You have to take a shvuah to prove to us that the animal got a heart attack. Chalila v'chalila zakter ha'inim. The Torah doesn't trust your shvuah. Hayesh raya eino nishba. Yesh raya doesn't mean that the Shema Socha literally has a raya, has edim. That means hayesh raya means the Shema Socha should have had edim. He's making a claim that was so clear, so evident that there should be edim here, and he can't show up with the edim, he can't prove edim. So what does he want to do? He wants to get out of the chiyah by taking a shvuah. Nothing doing. Shvuah Hashem is a good mechanism for people who can't bring edim. But someone who should be able to bring edim, you need edim, and if you can't bring edim, we won't accept your shvuah. That's the second shot in the Ge'inim. So according to the first shot in the Ge'inim, Isi Ben Yehuda's drasha is a kula for the Shem HaSachar. According to the second shot, Isi Ben Yehuda's drasha is a chumra for the Shem HaSachar. Kimat, all of the Rishonim reject the first shot. They accept the second shot of the Ge'inim. Why is that? Why do all the Rishonim prefer the second shot rather than the first shot? What's wrong with the first shot? Ain roa shvuah Hashem. Hayeshua, if Edom really come, you don't have to take a shvuah. What's wrong with the first pshat? It's obvious. Chotam pashut. That's it. A pishnei Edom yakum davar. We use Edom to kill people. We use Edom to be mechayev nisvi. We use Edom to be meitzi mamu. Edom work for everything. So Edom is not going to patur a shvuah Hashem. Are you talking? In a million years, you would have thought the Edom would say, "We saw the animal die." No. The master says, "I don't believe you, have to take a shvuah." Mapito. I can figure it out. Any time to get out, I can figure that out. I need a pasuk for that. I need a pasuk by Shvatim to teach me that. So Rav Rishayim side with the second shot in the riff. That Zemin Fandar that the Jerash of Ein Rai is a chumra in the Shem HaSachar, that what would otherwise have been accepted, the Torah's shvuah, is no longer accepted when the possibility exists for Edom to be present. Rabbi said, what's the Torah telling us? We're working with the second shot in the riff now. What's the Torah telling us? What's the nature of this Gezeiras HaKosov of Ein Roa Shvuas Hashem? What's the Torah telling this? You can understand this in one of two ways. Either you can understand this is a din prati in Hilchos Shomrim. This is just a quirk in Hilchos Shvuas. And don't extrapolate from this to any other area of the Halacha. Or perhaps the Torah is telling us something much more profound. What's the Torah telling us? That there are certain mechanisms of biror that the Torah accepts, provided that there's no greater biror that could be realistically available. If a greater level of biror, if a more effective method of biror is available and can't be produced, that undermines the degree of biror that you are being able to produce. So shvuah is a certain degree of biror. Shvuah is an 87% biror. It's not Edim. Edim is 100% biror. So normally we would have said Shavuot is good enough. I have a din Torah between the Mafkid and the Shomer. So one of the mechanisms of Biru that the Torah tells us, what do you want for the Eidim? What do you want for the Bezin? Bezin wasn't there. They don't know whether the animal died or not. They have no idea what happened. So the Torah gives us a mechanism of Biru called Shavuot. We all know Shavuot is a Biru. Anyone who remembers Migalift of Shavuot, Rimagash's day, Shavuot is a mechanism of Biru. That's the Devah Poshet. So the Torah is willing to accept that mechanism of Biru, provided that you can't get anything greater, provided that it's not Shaykh, there should be anything higher. If it's Shaykh has something higher and you can't find it, your inability to find it is what is that doing? What is that doing? It's casting a suspicion on the level of beer that you are producing. Normally Shavu is okay. Normally Shavu is cool. But if you could have got Adam and you can't, that takes away from the beerness, for lack of a better term. From the Koach HaBirur of the Shavuah, the very fact that you should be able to produce a higher level of biur, that's the nature of this Gzeres HaKosov, at least according to the second Shah and the Rif. If that is correct, Rabbi Yisai, is that not what the Baal HaMor is telling us? Is that not the Savior said? Isn't the Baal HaMor borrowing that principle and plugging it into Migo as well? Migo's great. It's an unbelievable biur. It's the greatest biur in the world, almost. Not quite as Edim. Everybody knows that Migo is not as great as biur as Edim. How do we know that? Come on. Everyone knows that. What? How do you know that Migo Makom Edom, right? Migo Makom Edom Lo Amrinan, right? So Migo loses out to Edom. Edom is clearly a better biur than Migo. So a guy walks to the base and produces a Migo. So okay, we believe him. Good. We're stuck with the Migo. Torah says it's good enough. It's good. It's a biur. Achar Amahatos. It meets the criteria. Good. Zolzai, we accept the biur. But wait a second. Wait a second. You could have brought Edom, and you can't. And all you could show up with is this half-baked Migo. That gufa indicates there's something fishy that's going on here. Your inability to find Adam is working against you. It's a mavar of anything against you. Your inability to find the greater biru is a mavar against you, and that offsets any koach that the biru of the migo had. So migo, the makom she'ef shalim to Adam, is as effective as a shvua is the makom she'ef shalim to Adam, which means we pass like isi b'diru, that's not effective. So perhaps that's the biur hadover in Shitas Abayin Rava in our sugi. Why Abayin Rava shy away from this migo? It's a migo b'makom she'ef shalim to Adam. What was Rechista thinking? Didn't Rechista learn Isi ben Yehuda? Didn't Rechista know this whole shtickle Torah? Maybe he didn't hold like Isi ben Yehuda. Maybe he accepted Isi ben Yehuda. Maybe he learned the Gainim's first Pran Isi ben Yehuda. But we don't want to say all that. What do we want to say? Why didn't Rechista buy into this, Rabbi Isai? We know Rav Chisda already, we've met him before. How does he look at the Migo? Every Rishon in the book had a different version of what Rav Chisda said Migo is. What is Migo? Migo is a Koach HaTayin according to Rav Chisda. We saw this time and time again. We saw Rav Chisda is one of the Amoraim who accepted Migo b'Makom Eidim. Can you imagine, he accepts Migo b'Makom Eidim? It doesn't make any sense. Especially according to Taisos, who says he really accepted Migo b'Makom Eidim. Even when it's outright Taisos of the Eidim. We've seen time and time again that there is lurking in the background Rishonim who are saying B'das Rav Chisda that Migo is not B'teres Birur. If it's not B'teres Birur, then this parish of Isi ben Yehuda and the Shavuos Hashem comparison is worthless, is meaningless. This Svara that you're lacking in Birur because you can't get the higher Birur only is presupposing that Migo is a Birur. If Migo is not a Birur, what does that have to do with anything? What does it do with the price of tea in China? The fact that I can't bring Adam. The fact that you can't bring Adam, that shows you Migo is not a Migo. Lama. Why? So could it be that we're back, mamish, the square one from yesterday, that even according to the Baal HaMor, who we thought had a different twist on the sugya, who had a legamri different twist than Tosin the Rash, but he's the only Rishon who throws in this new cloud, made up this cloud, Yesh Me'ayin, of Migav and Makosh Evshalim to Edim, even according to the Baal HaMor, we end up falling back on our old story of Birin's Chusataina. So I call upon him, this is another pshat in the sugya, another possibility. So what do we have, Rabbi Say? How many different birurim do we have in the sugya? Assuming that the girsa is l'sof aisei echzade. If your girsa is l'sof odilei, I can't even remember that. That was last week. But assuming that the girsa is l'sof aisei sade, so we have a lot of different permutations. We have a machlek yisim rishonim, what the sade was saying. Right? That was the first day in the Rashba, the second day in the Rashba. But even within the second girsa in the Rashba, even within the girsa of Tosfos, that the Edom are not saying the word magic word tfei, we still have how many different birurim what the machlekes is. We have three from yesterday, right? Whether the kudus of machlekes is amigo against the nan and sade, or amigo against the muchsok, or is it just amigo against the toein, or can you split psakim of amigo, can you not split psakim of amigo, and throw it into the mix, we have the Baal HaMor pshat as well. Is there such a klal of amigo b'makom she'ef shalim to edim or not? So we have, at least within our limited version of the sugya, leaving out the Lesof Odi of last week, and leaving out the Rashba's first trial of Lesof, Isis Sade, the Karf Tfei, even just within the most limited scope of the Sugya, we already have four working shot, and three from yesterday and one from today, as to what was in the Kudus of Machalik, was in a Bayan Rav against Rav Chisda. Okay, so that's the Hakdama to the Sugya. Everyone ready to go on? We have more to go. We didn't finish the Sugya. Not really the Hakdama, just kidding. We still got more to go, though. There's one thing that's clear, no matter what your fancy schmancy lung this is. At the end of the day, according to Abaye and Rava, once the Dekel goes to Rabbi Di Barabin, what else goes to Rabbi Di Barabin? What else? The Peirus. The Migo, there is no such Migo. For every one of the four above reasons, the Migo is not going to work. It's not going to save the other supposed relative. Where the Dekel goes, so go the Peiris of the last 6 months. Comes Tosus and he says, that equation, that Dekel equals Peiris and Peiris equals Dekel, all goes to the same person. Amigo is not going to affect that equation. L'chora is contradicted by a Gemara on Daf Lama Gimel Mebeis and Daf Lama Dalana. We have to understand a little bit about this Gemara in Daf Lama Gimel Mebeis and Lama Dalana Aleph in order to appreciate what the contradiction is, and to understand how the different Rishonim may resolve this contradiction. So we're going to jump ahead to the sugya, which is going to take us, Yetz Hashem, HaBolein, L'Toiva, the next sugya is what's called the Naschat Rabbi Abba sugyas. Okay? If you notice, this semester, each sugya was like a whole trilogy, or how do you say, fourologies? I don't know. Should I say that? Quadrologies? I don't know, whatever you want to call it. So we had the whole semester was the Rav Bashashim group. Then we had the Ravid Barabin sugyas. Coming up to that, right around the bend, is the Naschat Rabbi Abba sugyas. So we're just going to borrow a little bit from Naschat Rabbi Abba. Hopefully we'll have enough time to talk about it in the future. We're just going to extract what we need from the Naschat Rabbi Abba sugyas in order to understand what Tosfos is driving it over here. Comes the Gemara in the bottom of Lamed Aleph, and gives us the following scenario, the following wild scenario. There was a din Torah about a piece of land. Shocking. My bayis b'hayara. Right. What are you doing in my land? I have a cheskes marakama. I should win. You respond. I bought it from you, and I've been eating the fruit here for a couple of years. I'm not going to translate exactly what a couple means yet. Maybe two, maybe three. As we get through the Nasa Rabbi Sugars, we'll see that hopefully. But for a couple of years. What? No, we're still in the same sugar. No, we're there. Don't worry. So I come and I say to you, what are you doing in my land? And the guy responds, I've been eating the fruit for a couple of years. So what's the next line? Where's the shtar? I don't know the shtar. So I say, where the Edim? I don't have any Edim. Doesn't look too good for the Ochlas of Paris. Bodes very, very poor for the guy who's eating the Paris. No shtar, no chesed gimushanim. The other guy's got a chesed merkama. So we knew already on the first day of Shir, August 25th, we knew how to pass in the Shaila. Chesed merkama is going to win. No question about it. And that's exactly what happens. Okay. To make matters a little bit more complicated, there happens to be, by golly, an Eid Echad who testifies that I did eat the fruit. It's an Eid Echad that testifies that I ate the fruit. Okay? Now, the truth is, that presence of the Eid Echad really does not make matters much better for the Eichel, because Al-Pi Shanayim Eidim Yachem Dover. So the Eid Echad indeed Amamnes is Lamalef Lameirid. So in terms of getting me to win the Karka, the Eid Echad is Kemanda Leisa. The Eid Echad is not going to help me at all. Okay? So far, so good. The Din Torah ended. The Machzeh got his Karka back. The Marakama got his Karka back. The other guy's screaming, where's my other aid? He never showed up. But tough luck, you only have one aid. A Pishnai made him Yachum Dover. Now, comes the Marakama and now says, well, wait a second. I'd like to send you a bill for the last couple of years. And I'm saying couple very, very carefully. I'm sending you a bill for a couple of years. What does the bill say? What does the bill say? The amount of fruit you've been eating for the last couple of years. After all, Igloi Milsalim Afreya, that this field never belonged to you. This field was mine, you've been eating the fruit. It's starting to sound very, very, to resemble very closely Krav David Barabin. Right? So now we have a new Din Torah on our hands. We do not have a Din Torah anymore about the land. That was at Oiske Paskin, there was only at Eid Echad, there was no Shtar, there was no Chesedim Oshanim, no Beis Edim. So there's no question the Karka is going back to the Marakama. The second half of the Din Torah is now developing about the fruit that was eaten. Does the machzik, who turned out to be not really the appropriately being machzik, is he mechuyev to return the fruit or not? Is he mechuyev to reimburse the merkama for the fruit or not? That's the new din Torah that just took place. So comes the Gemara and says, lechora, at first glance, the machzik has a gevaldik amigo on his hands. What's his amigo? No, we're about to say, what's his amigo? What's his amigo? What's the machzik's amigo? I'm claiming that what? That I own the land. I'm claiming it's my land. We couldn't believe you that it's your land, because to claim that you own land, you have to produce a shtar or a chesed gemushanim, you produce neither. So we cannot trust you. You have no nemanah to say it's your land. But l'chora, vis-a-vis the fruit that you ate, you should be believed to say that it's your land. What's your amigo? I never ate the fruit. So believe me, it's my land, vis-a-vis the fruit. Miga could have said, I didn't eat the fruit in the first place. Not bad, right? So far, so good. Comes the Gemara and says, no, sorry, you lose. You know why you lose? Because there's a halacha called Eid Echad. And Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvua, and therefore you lose. And I don't want to get into the details of it right now, what that means, because I don't want to steal the excitement from the Aschab of the Rabbi Abba. Suffice it to say, we'll say it, Mamash Bekitz and Imratz, that you cannot say that you don't have a migo to say that I didn't eat the fruit. Because what do you have to do? Rabbi said, when you have an Enechon, you have to take a Shavua. And you can't take that Shavua. Why can't you take that Shavua? Because you just said you didn't eat the fruit. So you are stuck in Hukas Erechon. Erechon just killed you. If you wouldn't have brought the Erechon, you would have been better off. But you're bringing the Erechon just undid your Migo. Why that is? Well, that's next Sugi. That's not Rabbi Yehuda's Sugi. So we're not bringing a Raya from that. Comes Tosfos and all the Rishonim say, it is absolutely clear as day from the Gemara that if the Erechon wouldn't have come, what would the halacha have been? The Machzik would have been entitled to say what? Believe me that the field is mine. Migo, I could have said I didn't eat the fruit. And he would have got off scot-free with paying for the fruit. He would not have had to pay for the fruit. That is clear from the Gemara. From the fact that the only reason why the Gemara rejects his Migo is based on the existence of the Erech again, which we have no idea why the Erech kills the Migo 100%, but hopefully we'll get to that. But it's clear from the Gemara that if the Erech wouldn't have showed up, the Machzik would have won, hands down, vis-a-vis the fruit, because that is a valid Migo. To say that it's Shali, Migo to Lochalti Aperis. Rabbeisai, now we're in for trouble. You know what that problem is? We got a Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We got a Gemara on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph that are saying opposite things about this Migo. On Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, we just said the following Migo exists. Karka Shali Lagabe HaPeiros. I believe the Karka Shali Lagabe HaPeiros. What's the Migo? Lo Achalti. That is a valid Migo. If not for the presence of an Erech who threw things off kilter, this would have been an acceptable Migo and you would have gotten off scot-free. In contrast, the Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, just change one word. What's the one word? There's only one difference of word between Lama Gimel and Lama Dalet. What is it? Dekel, that's all. Dekel Shali. Lagavi HaPeiris. Right? Migo. Lo Achalti. Right? What does the Gemara say about this? According to Abai and Rava, who gets the final say in our sugya? Abai and Rava came to the ID. It's not a good Migo. Here's the whole sugya later on following Chizda. Gemara doesn't. We don't pass like a Chizda. Nobody passes like a Chizda. The Gemara rejects Rav Chizda. Later on, Abai and Rava sided against Rav Chizda. So now the Gemara wakes up and Lamdal and Rav goes back to Rav Chizda. Hard to believe. You know what everybody's saying? Outright contradiction. Stira Galuya. Anyone who learned Lama Gimel Amud Aleph, anyone who learned Lama Daled Amud Aleph realizes immediately that these two halachas are mamash sosa one another. Now again, there's no Gemara with Favish and Lama Daled Amud Aleph that says this. It's just the implication. The fact that the Gemara says quite clearly that the reason why you lose out the Migo is because of the Erechon, implying that if the Erechon wouldn't have been, then the Migo would have been valid. But we're going to take that deal because all the Rishonim accept the deal. It's pretty clear on the Gemara. So what's the difference, everybody say, between Lama Gimel Amud Aleph and Lama Daled Amud Aleph? What is the difference between the two? That's the question that you have to understand. So it took us 2 days to understand Lama Gimel Amud Aleph. It took us about 10 minutes to understand Lama Daled Amud Aleph. Now we have to understand what is the difference. How come the Migo fails in Lama Gimel and it comes back to Chesem Eisim and Lama Daled? Which Rishon is sitting here and smiling in the background? Which Rishon? Which Rishon is so happy? It's his day today. Huh? Come on. Which Rishon? Huh? Rashba. He's not so happy today, Rashba. Which Rishon is ecstatic today? That the difference is so obvious. It's such a teeny, minute difference. Nobody read the Mamukhans? You don't need any fancy tricks. Chizda, Rishon. Tosfos is not happy. Tosfos got big problems. This is not a good day to be bummed about Texas today. Northern France is not doing well today. Which part of France is doing much better? Southern France. Who lives in Southern France? Okay, guys got to learn where the Rishonim lived. The Rashba lived in Spain. The Balei HaTosfos lived in Northern France. And who lived in Southern France? We call it Provence. Those are like more French pronunciation. What? Who is the Chachmei Provence? Alamor. In southern France, they're having yontif today. Balamor is very happy about this Gemara. You know why? What is the Balamor? He says it himself. Nobody read the Balamor. Either nobody read it or nobody understood what they're reading. The Balamor says it in Farish. What does he say, everybody? Say? Numash, what does he say? over here, you could have had a better birur. What's the better birur? All you have to have is some edim, two edim to say that I'm related. You can't find two guys to say somewhere that I'm a relative. Nobody knows that I'm first cousins with Ravida Barabin. Nobody. You can't provide edim, your amigo fails. Over here, what are we asking of this guy? What kind of edim are we asking this guy to bring? We won't accept your amigo because you should have brought edim. Edim to say what? What did the edim have to testify? That what? That he ate fruit for how long? 3 long years. You guys don't remember? All the way back in Chavtes? Remember the sugyas of Rochlin? Remember how hard it is to bring edim for Peiris? Remember how hard it is? 3 years every day, day in, day out, Yom Galayla, Ochla Ritzufim, that there was Achilas Peiris. You think it's so easy to get Chesed Gimel Shanim? We learn it like it's nothing. It's very hard to get Chesed Gimel Shanim. You're going to hold the guy responsible for not being able to track down edim, and you're going to disqualify his migo? Mapitom, says the Baal Amar. This migo is a good migo. There's nothing wrong with this migo. The only problem over here is that it's a migo to Efshalim to edim, which doesn't exist over here. According to the Baal Amar, there's no steer between the sugis. It's obvious, clear as day. Nobody saw it in the Baal Amar. Can I just make that up? Rude, did he say it? You think so? Come on, you got to be more convincing of a beer than that. How do you find things with this gemara? What did they do? Why did they move the pages? What was wrong with the way the pages used to be? What was wrong with where the Baal Amar used to be? I don't know what anything is. It's still there. I know, but I can't find it. There's so many different hagros. No idea where the Baal Amar is. There it is here. Found it. Because he just said, because it's Efshalim so Edim. וזה טעם שורש לכל החזקות והשמועות מוכיחות כך. That's what he said. I didn't say it. Baal Amar said it. Once Baal Amar, the chiluk is obvious between the two sugyas. This is all fine and dandy according to the Baal Amar, who held that there's such a klal of Efshel Bekalim Se'edim. That's the difference of factors between the two. But according to Tosfos, who said that that's not the klal, the issue. That wasn't even the issue according to Tosfos. What was the issue according to Tosfos? At the end of the day, according to Tosfos, why is this migo fail in our sugya? What's the problem with the migo in our... not us, I'm sorry. Let me get it out. Why do we make an X here according to Tosfos? What klal forced us to make an X? Who remembers? What was that driving force for rejecting this migo according to Tosfos? We had 3 different birurim yesterday, but which one do we think was the emes lamitai? B'das Tosfos? Come on. What did Tosfos say? Tosfos said... No. Tied to the Sasra. Tosfos said, how can you pass the decals one person's and the parents of the others? Doesn't make any sense. It's a stira within the psakim. Rav Chisda could live in the world of contradictions because Rav Chisda held that migos weren't birurim in the first place. That migos were only chesatainis. Didn't we talk about this yesterday? Wasn't it exactly on this corner of the board yesterday? Rav Chisda wasn't concerned with a split psak, with a contradictory psak, because Rav Chisda held that migos anyway weren't birurim. But we paskin like Abai and Rava, that this migo is not acceptable. According to Tosfos, the problem with this migo has nothing to do with the Baal Amar Shtickle Torah. The problem with this migo is you can't split a psak. You can't give the dekel to one guy and the payrus to another guy. That's a tie to the sasra. That's bad. You can't invoke migo when it's soyser, the original psak. Rabbi said, we got a problem now. You know we have a problem? That's exactly what you're doing over here. What are you doing over here? Can you please tell me what you're doing over here? What's the psak here? Who gets the karka, Rabbi said? Who's going to win the karka in Lamadala and Aleph? The Merkama wins the karka, correct? Right? Who's with us? Who is with us? Who has lost over between Lamadala and Lamadala? I assume everyone else is here. Okay? Right? So the karka goes to the Merkama. And who gets the Paris? Who gets the last 6 months of Paris? Who doesn't have to pay back the Paris? Ita, who doesn't have to pay back the Paris? The supposed machzik. That's not a psak. That's not a tactic disaster. That's not the same type of disaster of Lama Gimel. So according to Tosfos, no pun intended, but this Gemara is Soisa, Lama Gimel. The psak that was just given on the Lama Dala, that we're giving the karka to the Marakama, goes to the Marakama, and the Perisha Ochal goes to the Machzik. That's bad. How can you do that? You can't do that. On Lama Gimel, we weren't willing to do that. On Lama Gimel, we gave the Dekel to Rav Edi. And what did we do with the Perish Ochal? Who did we have to give it to? Against that better judgment, against the existence of Amiga. What did we have to do with the Perish? We had to give Rav Edi the Perish also. Because we were convinced that these two boxes have to say the same thing. Got to have the same name of the Dekel and the name of the Perish. We have no qualms doing that over here. So what happened, according to Tosis? Who asked this cash in Tosis? Tosis asked this cash. No, everyone with us? I just want to make sure everyone's with us. Pretty much with us. Most people with us. Ro with us. Ro Boro with us. Mechza Mechza. Kavua. 1 out of 10. Okay, good. This is one of the easiest sugyas this year, right? Guys, just bear with us. If you follow this sugya, then you have a chance at Maskud Rav Yava. If you lost your hair, so we'll pick you up for the Pesach Shiur. Vaisai. Get back, I don't want to give it a chalish to the house. Rabbi, getting back to this story. According to Tosis, these two sugyas contradict each other. What's the answer? No, what does Tosis say, Rabbi? What does Tosis say? Who saw the Tosis? What is the difference between these two sugyas? According to Tosis. Rui, you read the Tosis. What did he say? No? Your little Moshe didn't tell you what he said? You just learned it a couple of weeks ago in Shemayim, right? You didn't remember? But you forgot. No? No, what's going on? No? No, what's going on? No, what do we got? What do we got? Get my direct line of fire. What do you got? What do you guys have to say? Okay, I'm going to play the game, says Tosis. I'm going to go for consistency over here. We paskin that the Marakama gets the karka, so I'm going to be willing to erase this machzik against my better judgment, against Migo. I'm going to be bound by the rules of Taita Desasre. Remember my lesson of Lama Gimel. We hold the Kabayan Rava, and I'm going to give the Perish Achal to the Marakama. Right? What does that mean, I'm going to give the Perish Achal to the Marakama? I'm going to just explain to you what that means exactly. It means who's going to have to write a check now for the Perish Achal? The Machzik is going to write a check. So we're going to hereby tell the Machzik, Machzik, write a check for Perish Achalta. How many years of Perish Achalta? What was the original claim? How many years did the Machzik claim he was here eating fruit? Obviously, 3 years. If he didn't claim 3 years, so then what was he doing? What kind of claim was that in the first place? So we are going to authorize the Machzik to write out a check of reimbursement for 3 years of fruit that was eaten to the Marakama. What's wrong with that, Rabbi Isai? If that's true, then what just happened? What just happened? Don't give it away yet, Moshe. What just happened? If that's true that he ate the fruit for 3 years, I'm going to kill those words. Those words are going to be the punchline. What just happened? If we just forced that check, then we just said, what did we just say? That he ate fruit for 3 years. Much more important than we just said that he ate fruit for 3 years, by accepting that, you know those little checks you get from the phone company? By signing the back of this check, you are hereby admitting to the following. Okay? By signing the back, by endorsing that check, Mr. Marakam, who's going to endorse this check, collecting 3 years of fruit that the Machzik ate, just gave a what? Just gave a Hodas Baldin that there wasn't a Chilas Gimel Peiros. Guess what? If you accept that check and you get your money back, I'm going to change some boxes here. You know what I'm going to change? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give the field back to the Machzik. Because you just gave Hodas Baldin that he ate 3 years of fruit, which is another way of saying he has Chesed Gimel Shonim, which is another way of saying he owns the karka. Now we got the guy exactly where we want him. So comes Tosis and says, we have a problem. We have a very, very serious problem in how to paskin the Shaila. Okay? We have a very, very real problem how to paskin the Shaila. You know what that problem is, says Tosis? No matter which way you go, Moshe, now you could say it. What do we got? We have a Taita Desasre. We have a tithe to sasrei. What are the different options? What options are available to us? To paskin, like we thought we were going to paskin before, Murakama gets the karka, and he also gets the reimbursement. What's wrong with that psak? It's a tithe to sasrei. Because if the Murakama gets the reimbursement, then there's no way the Murakama can own the karka. It's impossible. It's an impossibility. It's a tithe to sasrei. If we paskin, the Murakama gets the karka, and we paskin the machzik, doesn't have to pay back. What is that? What is that, Rabbi said? What do we call that? It's also tarte desasrei. We have a tarte desasrei squared, for lack of a better term. It's mamish checkmate. No matter where you go, any psak that's available to us is sois of the other psak. There is no way to solve this riddle. There's absolutely no way to solve this riddle. These are the only two psakim that make any sense of the world. Nothing else makes sense. To give the field back to the machzik, that's gore ridiculous. Why? Because he doesn't have any eidim. So the Murakama is going to get the field. There's no question the Murakama is going to get the field. That's ABC's of Chesed's Gibboshonim. But no matter what you're going to do with the fruit, you're tied to the sasrei. If you give the machzik the fruit and don't make him pay back, you associate this psak. If you give it to the Murakama, you invite the associate this psak. It can't be. There's no way to move. There's no way to go. There is no way to go.
Tosis for sure holds that it's 3 years.
Yeah, Tosis says 3 years. So comes Tosis and says, that's the problem. That is what prompted the Gemara Lamnanam and Aleph to say, either way I go, it's a tithe to the sasrei. What do you do? If tithe to the sasrei against tithe to the sasrei, what do you do? When in doubt, what do? You do nothing. What does doing nothing mean? You give the Murakama back his field, for sure. That wasn't even an option, not to. And what do you do about the fruit? Nothing. Which is exactly what the Gemara said. It's a tithe to the sasrei. Yeah, it's a tithe to the sasrei. Do me something. I have no choice. That's what Tosis said. Right? The favors. No room? Didn't Tosis say? So take a look at Tosis. Let me give you one out. Tosis says, V'yeshloi ma'dohasa ma'irish o'imesh o'ochle shalashonim. V'ye'ed eno meiro mishtayim. That's for a technical reason. Not for the Rabbah. Forget about that line. The Hosam Vada Iloa Vachatzad, if there wouldn't have been one ape, Pshit the Potter. Ava Bishakak Yetzvach is Yodai. The Imehema Bemaid Amma the Achla Shalashonim, the Hoyal Lahoz Yakakam Yodai. Even the Achla Shalashonim. The Lakel Bemaid the Nami, you can't say it's a, you have believing for one thing, not the other, that's impossible. Tosis shows you why that's impossible. Ad Kan Devir Tosis. However, this type of the Sasra checkmate doesn't exist on Lama Gimla Med Aleph. Why doesn't it exist? Rabbi Say, is there anything wrong with this psak? What's the deal with this psak? Rav Idi was the what? Rav Idi was the real Yoresh. He gets the dekel. The other guy was what? The other guy never claimed he bought the dekel from Rav Idi. What did the other guy claim? He was a Yoresh. He claimed he was entitled to it. What does this psak tell us? That Rav Idi gets the dekel, and what do we call the other guy? We don't call him a relative, what do we call him? A goslin. Over here, the guy's not a goslin. Here, the guy said he ate it as a lekeach. Rav Idi's supposed half relative never claimed he bought any dekel. He claimed he was the Irish. We proved he wasn't the Irish. Ain't something must be the other. Rav Idi's the Irish, and the other guy's the Ghana. And that's exactly what we passed. Rav Idi gets the dekel, and he gets the check back from the other guy, reimbursement. That's not a stira. To a pasket, anything otherwise would have been a stira. To a pasket, Rav Idi gets the karka, but the other guy gets the fruit, that would have been a stira. This is not a stira. This is a perfectly acceptable psak. It's only because of the unique situation that the eating of the fruit gufa creates the chazak on Lamed Aleph that created this bizarre scenario of tied to the sasrei versus tied to the sasrei. But on Lamed Gimel Aleph, that factor doesn't exist. It's totally different than Torah, and therefore we're left with this psak. So although superficially, this sugya of paskining Rav Idi, and paskining... Are we paskining anymore? I don't even know what we're paskining. What do we got here? This is wrong, right? Everything's wrong. I don't even remember what happened over here. Whatever it's supposed to say here, is not what it says. Everyone knows what it's supposed to say here. I lost what it's supposed to say here. The karka goes to the Murakama. I knew he's the wrong guy. What a poor little man. Karka goes to the Murakama. The papers go to who? And the machzik, isn't this box, soiser, this box? The answer is no, it's not. only because of the unique feature that this, the Din Torah, is about the Achilas Peiros, which goof is what created the Chazaka in the first place. So the Torah is very simple, right? Everyone, when you read the Torah, everyone follow that? Right? Pretty straightforward. Which just leads me to believe that my theory from yesterday is correct. The Tosfos sheet that really was based on Hilchos Taita Desaserei. Because Tosfos made a fuss about the Taita Desaserei, and the solution is coming from Hilchos Taita Desaserei. Rabbi Sai, what if other Rishonim are right? What if other possible, I can't even say Rishonim, because I don't know who to pin them on from yesterday, but what if other Mahalchim in the Machlekes, Abai and Rav against Rav Chisda, correct from yesterday? What if the issue in our Sugi was not really a Taita Desaserei issue? What if it was more of a lot? What if there was some other problem in this Migo? Not a Taita Desaserei, not a Malamor problem. What were the other two possibilities of problems in this Migo? What were other two possible Chesronos in this Migo from yesterday, no? Maybe it's a Migo against the what? And on Saturday, or maybe it's a Migo against the what? Against the Muchsak. Right, remember the Anan Saturday, the Rashba's Lashon, with the Ritva from yesterday? Right, it's an Ein Safek Mosek Devadi creates an Anan Sadeh. Or according to those Ha'aris and the Rabbeinu Yonah from yesterday, the Ein Safek Mosek Devadi creates a Muchsuk. The problem, according to those first Biurim that we had yesterday, there never is such a cloud. You can't split a Psak. You can split whatever you want. If you want to be Seish, you can have Mincha Marib at the same time. Do whatever you want. Steerers, don't bother us. Tied to the Sasri, we live in them in other areas of life. We can live in them here also. The problem with the Migo was a Migo problem. It was a Migo against the Anan Sadeh. It was a Migo against the Mulchsat, Migo Lahitzi, whatever you want to call it, all those things that we spoke about yesterday. If that was the issue in our Sugya, did those issues carry over in Lamed Aleph? This Migo is intrinsically a good Migo. There's nothing wrong with this Migo. It's only no good when it goes up against an Anan Sadeh. It's only no good when it goes up against a Mulchsak. Do we have a Mulchsak here? Is there a muchsuk over here, Rabbi Say? What do we have here? Do we have a muchsuk? We have a marakama, but do we have a muchsuk? Is this a chisorn of a migo against a muchsuk? What do you think that depends on? Which two brothers are going to go at it now? Tzos and his brother, remember from 6 months ago? Machlekes to Tzos, for the Kudus HaSvekes, about what is Cheskes Marakama? Is Cheskes Marakama really muchsuk or not? Maybe it's just Chazaka Mekara. We may not even have a Migo against the Muchsuk over here. If the issue of Lama Gimel Menalef was a Migo against an Anan Sahadeh, there's an Anan Sahadeh over here of an Ein Safek Motzim Devad that created a Chalei Shem Anan Sahadeh. Here, the fact that a Marakama wins, is that an Anan Sahadeh? The fact that you don't have a Shtar and you don't have Edom and you have no proof, so by default the Marakama wins, would we even call that an Anan Sahadeh? I'm not sure we call that an Anan Sahadeh. I'm not convinced that that would be called an Anan Sahadeh. Ravina Barabbat's an Anan Sahadeh. That's an Ein Safek Motzim Devadeh. I'm not sure that meets the criteria of Anan Sahadeh. I'm not sure what Anan Sahadeh means. I don't know how you measure Anan Sahadeh. I'm not sure. I'm willing to go out and say that if the real issue in our Sugi yesterday, if the real problem of this Migo was not the Balamor's problem, and not the tied to the Sasi problem, but it's one of the other problems that we have, those Migo, more Migo-oriented problems, of Migo against the Nansad, Migo against the Machzik, I'm not so sure that there was ever a steer between Lama Gimel and Lama Dalet. The Ikas Chosim and Lama Dalet, those two factors that prevented the implementation of Migo, either on Sadi or the Muxlok, may not really exist on Daf Lama Dalet, possibly. Again, depending on Tzais, the Trum Sakriz, depending on different things, they have to throw into the mix. So Mikoyach HaKusha of Tosfos, the fact that Tosfos got so riled up about this Kasha, Tosfos was the one who introduced us to this Stira between the two Sugyas. Tosfos, this Stira was brought to you by Tosfos on the bottom of Lama Gimel and Aleph. This just reinforces what I said yesterday, that Tosfos was looking at the entire Sugya Mitchila V'Yatzoif as a Taita Desaserei issue. That was the Nekudas HaMachos Din HaBayin Rav against Rav Chisda. That's why Tosfos saw the same Taita Desaserei superficially at Daf Lama Dalet, and it was Tilchus Taita Desaserei that solved the problem. The problem was in the realm of Taita Desaserei. The solution was in the realm of Taita Desaserei. One Taita Desaserei was Soysa, the other Taita Desaserei. That's how Tosfos viewed the entire Sugya, Mitchila V'Atzoif. Whereas if you go some of the other routes, if you go to Balamor routes, like nothing to do with Taita Desaserei, like Gamri, different Mahal. But if you go some of those other routes that we had yesterday, I'm not so sure that we have to get too excited about the stira. There's no stira in the sugyas. Some of the factors that prevented this migo may not even be here on Lamed Aleph. So everybody say, just to sum up, fairly simple sugya. Okay, you can make a seema on Krevi Davidi Bar Abin. So what do we know about Krevi Davidi Bar Abin? A couple of quick sentences. We have a few basic nakudas. The sugya is fairly straightforward. There's a lot of permutations, but the sugya is fairly straightforward. The number one most important issue is, what gave Rav Yehuda bar Abin that decal in the first place? Was it a Hodas Baal Din? Was it Edom who said that he's the Karov Tfei? Or was it Edom who just said he's the Karov? Those were the three basic permutations in the Rishonim. Okay? Last week's sugya, two parts of this week's sugya. Okay? So far so good? Whatever gave him the decal in the first place, now have to understand what Abai and Rav and Rav Chisda were fighting about reimbursement for the payers. If it's Odos Baal Din Sugya, then it depends upon either Marbi and Levin Ketosis from last week, or it depends on Tosis, is it a real Odos Baal Din, not a real Odos Baal Din, or the Ritva about Abbaslis for Odos Baal Dins. Those are all the first half. Assuming it's Odos Baal Din Sugya, then the Machlekes Abai and Rav is lurked somewhere in Hilchos Odos Baal Din. If you take the whole other approach, that's an Edom Sugya. So which part of the Edom Sugya? If you take the approach that there were Edom Gemurim, so then the Machlokes Abai and Rav and Rav Chisda is something about Migo B'Macham Edom, and you got to do a lot of work on Migo B'Macham Edom, of Rashbas and Taisism that we spoke about. If you take the approach that the Edom, yes, but Karv Tfei low, so then it's not real bona fide Edom. And then we had to introduce this whole new factor called Ein Safek Mosav Devada. Which took us a whole shiur to figure out what it means and when it applies, and we learned a little bit of material, a little bit of Yivamis to figure out what it's all about. But once we finally pin down what Ein Safek Mosav Devada is, then we're able to go the next step to understand what exactly the Kudus of Machlokes Abai and Rav against Rav Chisda is. Can Migo match up? Can it stand up to an Ein Safek Mosav Devada? That may revolve around Migo Macham Amitzadeh, may revolve around Migo Macham Nuchsuk, may revolve around Tartanus Asif Sakim, everything we spoke about yesterday. Then we had the Balamor who came out of left field, who said that the real issue between Abai and Rav and Rav Chisda has nothing to do with Migo against the things that we talk about up till now, but it was this new klal of Migo, new limitation potential on Migo. And then the grand finale part of the sugya is, depending on how you understand Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, how does it match up? Is it really the same sugya that has to be addressed? Like Tosfos felt it was basically the same issue, and now you have to explain what the nekuda, the differential between the sugyas is. Or do you learn that there's a bechlal two different sugyas, that there are so many factors in Lamed Gimel that don't even appear in Lamed Aleph, that it's not even the same sugya, the kasha doesn't even get off the ground. So that's pretty much the summary of the Yehuda bar Abin stuff. Okay, so we got the basic case, all the different permutations in the Rishonim as to what the Nekudas of Machlokes is, and how all this fits in, just in terms of understanding Yevamis and Bavmetziyah and here and Subas and Bigum Macham Edim and all these other things, and hopefully all the pieces come together. Okay, good. Ready for Siyum? Okay, everybody say, come on. You saw Avida Bar Abin, you read the Gemara, right? What's going on? It's not there. No, was there anything there that wasn't there? It's all there. You just gotta dig. Dig and make up, but at least get quiet. You have to just look around. Okay. Good. Ready to start the next one here.